You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
October the 6th, 2020, President Trump back in the White House, of course, arriving last night from Walter Reed Hospital and immediately saying to the American public, do not live in fear of COVID. And that was the spark that the mainstream media needed to go again and condemn him for mocking it, not paying attention to science. And then the very fact that he stood for pictures up on the portico at the White House, away from anyone else, taking off his mask, oh, he's endangering all of us. And there are White House reporters who say we live in fear because we have to be here in the White House. We're going to get into that more in this next hour. And Joe Biden last night held a town hall meeting put on by NBC. They said it was going to be a realistic question session from real voters who were not all in for either candidate and maybe not in for any of them at that point. Judging by the ones and the questions raised, no, they were there to help Biden look good. No tough questions. None. And when Joe Biden had an excuse to use the words again, where he said President Trump called neo-Nazis in Charlottesville, Virginia, very fine people. He did it again. And it's a lie. Trump never said the neo-Nazis are very fine people. It's a lie. And NBC's Lester Holt didn't bother correcting it. Just let it go. I guess he's also in the bag. We, of course, are looking forward to the Senate Judiciary Committee starting the 12th of this month, the hearings to confirm Judge Barrett to the Supreme Court. Some of the senators have come down with COVID, one of them being Republican Tom Tillis. He's on the Senate Judiciary Committee. North Carolina, he said, I feel great. I don't have any symptoms. I'm on the path to being cleared. But for right now, I'm self-quarantined. I expect to participate remotely, but I'll vote in person. We have been watching Hurricane Delta, and a lot of folks along the coastline doing the same. They were already talking about that Hurricane Delta could become a nasty storm. Last night, it had reached Cat 2. Within hours, it went to Cat 3. And now it is a Cat 4 hurricane. 80-mile-an-hour winds, 130-mile-an-hour gales, and expected to strengthen even more as it moves north into the Gulf of Mexico. We'll hit part of the northeastern Yucatan Peninsula early tomorrow morning. Next target in the crosshairs could be Louisiana, which has been battling hurricanes and heavy rains and storms for the last several weeks. From the water issue, you have the fires in Northern California. The famed wine country in California continuing to have a fire. They now say the glass fire burning in Napa and Sonoma counties, scorching more than 66,000 acres. They say it is 50% contained, but it's destroyed more than 550 homes. Talk about socialized medicine. A gynecologist who worked at an artificial insemination program ends up fathering at least 17 children, count them, 17 children, using his own sperm without, of course, informing the patients. It's not the first time a doctor in this area has done the same thing. Where? Dutch, a Dutch doctor. Last year, another Dutch doctor doctor had been confirmed through DNA to father 49 children. Los Angeles protesters gathering outside police headquarters, smashing windows on nearby buildings overnight, at least one arrested. Police mobilized, went in, broke them up. They said we had Antifa, BLM, block militants breaking into empty storefronts downtown L.A. We're trying to put a stop to it, but we don't know why. We don't have any motive. They just suddenly decided to go on a rampage, according to the L.A. police, saying we just don't know why. Maybe you don't need an excuse anymore. That's pretty much the blessings you're getting from the left, at least now.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
We are slowly returning to normal as we knew life before COVID. Still, you need to be cautious. Make sure your business, school, place of worship are safe. Now, that's where Wellington Environmental can help. You can schedule professional fogging or deep cleaning with just a phone call. I'll give you a number. But first, you should know Wellington Environmental now offers fogging equipment you can use. These individual units are in high demand. Wellington has them available for now. They cost about $500, but my listeners get a big price break, a $100 discount. Save $100 just by saying you heard about it on Larry Connors USA. For more information on getting your personal fogging device or to schedule professional fogging, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest, best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beale Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
There he is, hair blown majestically, reshooting the scene for his own ad. I hold rallies, and I tell you to ignore masks, and I rip mine off as I vanquish the virus because I am a leader. Fear not, COVID. What a bunch of bullshit.
Well, those are the words direct from CNN Chris Cuomo on that network last night. No editing. Let you hear it direct. And, of course, Chris Cuomo is certainly the one to call Trump accountable for any fakery, right? Also the one to take the high moral ground when it comes to anything regarding ethics, right? Also the one to make sure everything is fair and balanced, right? Of course not. Some of you are thinking, Larry, you keep saying, right, what are you drinking? I couldn't drink enough to make those stories I just gave you and those lines be realistic and for me to believe them, and much less get you to believe them. Now, here's Chris Cuomo mocking Trump returning to the White House, and because he stood up on the portico and took off his mask, he makes fun of it, saying, I rip mine off. I tell you to ignore mask. I rip mine off as I vanquish the virus. You do remember, do you not, a Chris Cuomo suddenly coming down, according to his report, that he was positive for COVID, and he pointed out on a part of his report that I'm going to be isolating in the basement. I won't get to see my family. I'll stay down here for the entire length of the 10 to 14 days. But he didn't. He came out, remember, went to look at some property with his family with him in the car, and a guy spotted him and started talking about, well, I thought you were going to be in your basement, and Cuomo got all upset that he'd been spotted. And yet still, when he reached the official end of the quarantine, He came up as if he were dripping with sweat from working out, coming up the stairs. I've been, for the first time ever, and seeing his wife and kids for the first time since he went into quarantine. You want to talk about fakes? And then some of the response from some of those who saw that. Let me read some of these. See, these are tweets that were put out. And you wouldn't know them. I don't know them. But they're just interesting comments. Well, let me see. One says, Cuomo primetime, the absolute worst case of raging of Trump derangement syndrome of anyone on TV. My God, he's almost foaming at the mouth. The irony is hilarious, considering his behavior during his, quote, quarantine in the basement days. And then another one. Chris Cuomo was out in public while infected with COVID, got in an altercation with someone, yelled at them while COVID, and had a police report filed on him. Yep, that's the case I was talking about. He gets out on this property, and somebody's saying, I thought you were supposed to be put away, and he got all incensed. I'll make my own decisions. And Chris Cuomo saying, I will not play the president's White House propaganda video on CNN. That's because he's been doing his own propaganda. Because in addition to Cuomo actually breaking his quarantine, caught outside with members of his family at another property they own, then staging a fake coming out of quarantine, it's all about propaganda, credibility, and then, of course, when he had his brother on his program numerous times, his brother, the governor of New York State, asked not one question, not one hard question about why did you send so many to the nursing homes to almost certain death? 7,000, 8,000 confirmed, could be higher than that, could be 20,000, because he issued an order, if you are a nursing home, you must accept COVID-positive patients, and if you had them, you keep them. Nope, never got anything like that out of Chris Cuomo, did we? Now, this thing that he was alluding up to about Trump returning to the White House, he said, stage is a scene for a campaign ad. Maybe it'll be. I don't know. I don't really care. I recognize it for what it is. It's an event of him returning, and if they shoot it and decide to make a campaign out of it, so be it. But then Rachel Maddow, who a few days ago had said, to her credit, if you're a praying person, you need to pray for President Trump and his health. This is right after he went into Walter Reed. But now she's back on the attack. But more than importantly, she did point out something that is fact. I took a look at it. I just had a discussion in the last hour with Dr. Kevin Pham of the Heritage Foundation about this same thing. Here's Rachel Maddow describing how the president looked as he was going up to the portico, the stairs at the White House, and standing there like for a triumphant return look. Here we go.
President Trump returned to the White House tonight after three nights spent in the hospital at Walter Reed. He staged a kind of performative return that may have tried to be a sort of triumphant I beat the virus thing, with Marine One landing right next to the White House and the president then tromping up the stairs into the White House. This may have tried to be a sort of triumphant return impression, but the real impression it created was something almost opposite to that. I mean, the president walking up the stairs to the South Portico, but then turning out to face the cameras while he could be plainly seen really gasping for air, huffing and puffing, mouth breathing, and trying to pull in air while his chest sort of rose and fall with difficulty, looking out at the cameras. If the idea was to show that he's all better, you know, he's got his hair done again, he's got his makeup on again, he's himself, that was undercut seriously by the sort of unnerving spectacle of the president really visibly appearing to struggle for breath.
That's Rachel Maddow, MSNBC. I'm not going to refute or challenge her description. I think she's pretty accurate on it, and you could raise questions. Now, Dr. Pham, who was with us the last hour, I raised a question with him as to what he thought of it as the president got up there, and he said, well, you're talking about a pretty good flight of stairs and getting up at the top. You know, did take some effort. Even if he'd been absolutely in great health at that point, he might have been struggling for breath. And since he's just out of the hospital, it probably did make it a little harder. But the president was trying to show that I'm back. We're going to be okay. We're going to get through this. Your president, while I appreciate your prayers and support and still want them, I'm back here and we're going to move forward. And again, he didn't at that point make a speech. He didn't try to make a speech. But when you look at the video, it does appear he's struggling to get a full breath, fill his lungs. I can understand that. And that may or may not have been related to COVID or just the exercise of going up the stairs as he did. But when the president did issue a statement, what he said was like, for the mainstream media, throwing gasoline onto a fire they were ready to see roar.
Don't let it dominate your lives. Get out there. Be careful. We have the best medicines in the world, and it all happened very shortly, and they're all getting approved, and the vaccines are coming momentarily.
Now, again, his approach is you can't live in fear. We have COVID. You're going to have to deal with it. It's going to be part of your lives for some time to come, maybe. We're going to get into that in more detail before we wrap up this hour. But here comes again CNN looking for a way to attack. And the fact that the president stood there and took his mask off with no one around him, no one was near him when he took his mask off, and then he comes out and proclaims that you should not live in fear. Well, as I said, the fire was already being kindled by CNN, and they figured his remarks added more fuel. Here we go, Jake Tapper.
President Trump wrote on Twitter, "Don't be afraid of COVID. Don't let it dominate your life." Almost 210,000 Americans are dead from this disease, meaning hundreds of thousands of people in this country are mourning. We just reached 210,000 since I've been on air. 210,000 Americans dead, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of Americans mourning them. 7.4 million Americans have contracted the disease. Many of them are going to have health problems for the rest of their life. For President Trump, who gets the best medical care of anybody in the world, to say, don't be afraid of COVID, don't let it dominate your life. There are children who don't have parents now because of this virus. Don't let it dominate your life?
See how they pull that card out and put it in your face? Orphans left behind by COVID. And no doubt there are some cases like that. But if you want to talk about the science, which CNN, all the mainstream media continues to push, the majority of those who have died were well above, I don't have the exact number, I'm not going to make it up for you, but they may or may not have had children. And their children, by talking about children, we're talking about those that are still living with them. And the majority of those who have died apparently might have children who are now 20 plus or whatever. It's a loss, obviously. I've lost both of my parents years ago, so I can go along with that. I understand that. But here's Jake Tapper trying to make political points by saying children have lost parents. And again, saying you should blame Trump. All because Trump is trying to be encouraging?
You're going to beat it. We have the best medical equipment. We have the best medicines, all developed recently. And you're going to beat it. I didn't feel so good. And 2 days ago, I could have left 2 days ago. 2 days ago, I felt great, like better than I have in a long time. I said just recently, better than 20 years ago. Don't let it dominate. Don't let it take over your lives. Don't let that happen.
I think that's probably pretty good advice. Should you have a healthy concern about it? Yes, and if you are a person who might be at high risk, your concern should be greater. There are many folks all around this country that are truly frightened. And stuff that you're hearing from the mainstream media is meant to paralyze them with more fear. And again, back to Jake Tapper of CNN. Because while the president is trying to say, look at this in a rational way. In other words, quit the fear-mongering. Quit thinking you need to be shaking in fear as to what could happen to you in the next 5 seconds. Try to go on with your life. Jake Tapper is taking the opposite approach, as we expect with the mainstream media, because they want you to be living in fear. Here we go.
I just want them to know that there are plenty of us out here who understand that it's okay to be afraid of COVID, and it's okay that it's dominating your life, because it has dominated your life. And the idea that the president of the United States out there is, because he feels fine, maybe that's because of a steroid, I don't know, that he's saying this is so disrespectful to you. And I just want you to know that you're not alone if you're out there just shocked that this kind of callous indifference would be relayed by the person who's actually charged with protecting you from this virus.
See, I don't get callous indifference from the president's remarks, but of course I'm not looking at it through the left-wing lens. I'm not even looking at it through the right-wing lens. I'm looking at it just on what he said. Encouraging. Don't let it dominate your lives. You're afraid for your children to go off to school because of school shootings or something? Afraid to be on a plane because of a plane crash? And then you have reporters in the White House.
You ain't nothing but a hound. It's snooping on the door. You ain't nothing but a hound dog. It's snooping on the door. You can wag your tail, but I ain't gonna feed you no more.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
After the president did his thing walking up those stairs, he ripped off his mask right before he walked into the White House complex not wearing it. Right? He gets there wearing the mask, takes it off, and then that's how he goes into the White House. This is a man who tested positive for COVID-19 on Thursday, who has had symptoms serious enough to require multiple days in the hospital and supplemental oxygen and all sorts of experimental therapies, who even tonight appears to be struggling to breathe. And he's insisting on being not just out of the hospital, but being back home in a house that is also a workplace for hundreds of people. And he is apparently not going to wear a mask there.
So says Rachel Maddow, again of MSNBC, saying he's endangering everyone in the staff at the White House. And especially reporters have gotten more and more concerned. One White House reporter who spoke on the condition of anonymity said people are angry. It's recklessness out here. They're saying the White House is too cavalier. And then we get on Air Force One for a flight for some event. They might not have masks on the plane for it. Well, if you're getting on the plane, idiot, bring your own mask. Another reporter, it's a scary situation. And still a CBS White House correspondent said, I felt safer covering North Korea and being in North Korea than I do in the White House. Would you say that's a little exaggeration? Just a little bit, maybe. Yeah, Ben Tracy, CBS News. I felt safer reporting in North Korea than I currently do at the White House. I don't see any of them walking away from their White House job that it's too fearful. Not one of them. Kind of like the folks who said if Trump's reelected, they'll leave the country. Okay, you said that last time, you're still here. And I pointed out earlier that you want to consider it's dangerous being in the White House as a correspondent. You go into some country where a ruler will, either the ruler or drug cartels will have you and your entire family wiped out if you say anything bad about them. And, of course, Hollywood elites having an epic meltdown after Trump left Walter Reed and went right back into the White House. One of them, who appears on the NBC program Community, Ken John, who's also a medical doctor, said, "You're faking your recovery." Ellen Barkin tweeting, "The president's doctors are lying for a mass murderer." Chris Evans, who's a Captain America star, said, "This is reckless to a shocking degree, even for you." Bette Midler exploding, calling the president the sick idiot in chief. Jamie Lee Curtis tweeting, "I say there's plenty to be afraid of." And then you've got the reporter who does his tweet feed, and on his image that goes with his Twitter account, shows him wearing a mask on a tweet. On a tweet. Give me a break. But that's Hollywood, and that's all they want to do here as well, what they can to make things look and sound worse than they are. I'm not saying you shouldn't take care and precaution, but at what point do you get out of bounds? At what point do you think Winston Churchill would have said to the people of London, "We're lost, just give it up, just walk away, cower in the basement tunnels, the rail stations"?
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Southern nights. Have you ever felt a southern night? Free as a breeze, not to me.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
If you want to know the reality, the truth, okay? The virus is the truth. The virus doesn't care about left and right. The virus does what's reasonable. You give me a chance, I'll spread. You keep away from me, you don't give me a chance, I run out of hosts, I die. I am the truth. If you're doing the right thing, you don't see me that much. If you're doing the wrong thing, you do.
So there's Chris Cuomo, CNN, NNN, personalizing COVID as a person speaking to you. He's right to a large extent that if you do the right things, you probably won't get infected, and yet you might still. If you're absolutely careless and indifferent, you might get infected. You might already have been infected, but have no real symptoms or conditions. And you might, in turn, expose others. No one is saying don't be realistic about this. But when I watch the mainstream media meltdown over Trump simply saying that you shouldn't fear this, and I just went through a moment ago with the White House correspondents telling you about how some of them are absolutely fearful. Let me let you hear from a New York Times reporter who has, Michael Shear, White House correspondent for the New York Times, who said he got infected after a trip on Air Force One. Listen to his words.
He was not wearing a mask, and he spoke to us for about 10 minutes off the record. Look, it's hard to know, right, if he had just been infected himself that day. The medical experts, I think, that you guys have been playing would suggest that he probably wasn't very infective himself at that point. I was also at the White House earlier that day, not in the Rose Garden for the event, but when you fly on Air Force One, the White House requires that you take a COVID test earlier in the day. Which I did. So I was at the White House campus. It's possible I ran into somebody else there who was infected. But that was the last time I was at the White House, and last time really I was out and about. So it's pretty clear, I think, somewhere along that course of that day was where I got infected.
All right, that's Michael Shear actually being fair about it. He said the president came back and talked to us for a few minutes. He was not wearing a mask. And by all the experts' analysis at that time, the president probably did not have COVID symptoms or was not spreading them. And some had thought it came out of the announcement that day for Justice Barrett to be nominated to the Supreme Court, because several did come down ill from that event. But he's been honest about it. He said, "I don't know." He said, "But His attitude was, I don't know for sure where I got it, which I think, quite honestly, if other reporters were trying to be honest about it, they would acknowledge just because you're in the White House and you don't see the president wearing a mask when he comes in the room, who told you that you don't, that you can't wear a mask if he's there? And they make this complaint about Kelly McEnany, who's come down with it as well, that she might have infected us because she's up there speaking without a mask. Well, that podium is more than 6+ feet away from the nearest journalist. But they don't care because they don't like the fact that Trump doesn't seem to be buckling and trembling in fear.
I just left Walter Reed Medical Center, and it's really something very special. The doctors, the nurses, the first responders, and I learned so much about coronavirus. And one thing that's for certain, don't let it dominate you. Don't be afraid of it.
Now, those words, again, are what sparked sudden outrage and fear-mongering among the leftists. And they took to the tweet machine as well. One of them saying, you mean don't be afraid of COVID if you have a team of private doctors, every drug trial at your disposal, every resource imaginable. Guessing the millions of Americans whose health care you're undermining should be afraid. And the 210,000 who died. Then you got another anti-Trump hysteria from a guy identifying himself as a doctor. Don't be afraid of COVID. Not every American has access to the top therapeutics and doctors with the most advanced equipment available to the President of the United States. And you also had Wolf Blitzer talking about Trump saying, don't be afraid. Wolf Blitzer said clearly, everyone should be afraid of COVID. Are you afraid of being hit by a car when you're driving? Are you afraid of a plane falling out of the sky when you're on it? Are you afraid that a meteor might crash into your house? Some things are farther from your fear than more immediate. Are you afraid of a heart attack? I mean, you know, we all have fears of different... Do you live your life in fear, really, on anything and everything? But Chris Cuomo, again, thinks... I know how to put this in perspective because here we have a guy that's in charge of things, and well, here's how he describes Trump. And he said, you want a metaphor? I got one for you.
The White House is literally what we fear the most, a rash of contagion called a cluster. You want a metaphor? You've got a president who was a drunk driver who is pushing others to drive drunk. That's what he is. Do I want to see a drunk driver get hurt? Hell no. But I worry more about the people he hits. And I love seeing him do that victory lap in that limo. Thank God. You know why? I knew that meant he has to be okay.
He went on to say, now I don't have to act like I'm worried about his health so I can go on the attack again. And suggesting that the president is trying to encourage people to become, with a metaphor, drunk drivers. I don't see that connection at all. I don't think many do. I think even on the left, they have a hard time buying that. And I go back again that Chris Cuomo dares hold himself up as a moral standard, an ethical standard of dealing with COVID and how you're reporting it and dealing with it. When he, quote, self-quarantined in his basement and didn't come up, he said, and yet was documented out of his house. And then faked all of that in the process. Now, Dr. Sanjay Gupta, he's on CNN. He knows to stay on CNN. Whether or not he believes what you're going to hear, he knows you got to march to the drumbeat they give you.
It's a total, total cognitive dissonance, even within his own mind. What he believes and what he says are diametrically opposed at this point. Not to mention, don't be afraid of it. Almost then encourages this completely dangerous, non-scientific approach of herd immunity. Basically saying, don't be afraid. What does that mean, don't be afraid of it? I mean, first of all, it's a contagious disease that kills people. So what are you going to be afraid of if you're not afraid of something like that? Also, are you advocating that people then go get infected? Nothing to be afraid of? We know if that is the policy, if that's the approach, you know, 2 million people could die. Hospitals would become overwhelmed.
I did not hear Trump say that at all. Did you? You scour the networks and look for it. You won't find it. He didn't say that. Again, it's a leap of the liberals to say that that's pretty much what he's suggesting. I'm looking at an article in The Federalist written by Joy Pullman, executive editor of The Federalist. And she said, you know, the stuff that Trump is doing now in calling for not to be fearful, to show courage, she said, that statement is the kind of stuff that inspirational books written by athletes, motivational speakers, or celebrities who encountered a serious health concern or maybe a tragedy in their family or near-death experience. And they write it. It's inspirational when they're saying, don't live in fear. Deal with it, but be aware of it, but you don't have to live in fear. But she points out in her article, that statement from Trump, the stuff of inspirational books, not for Trump because it's Trump. And that's why he's treated this way. She said, you see that in a recent Fox retrospective of Democrats downplaying coronavirus early on. Their comments not held against them, but Trump still are. We all know why that is. And also adding, reference Wolf Blitzer saying, everyone should be afraid of COVID. She said, first of all, this stance is factually questionable. Being afraid of COVID does not kill nor retard it. Taking reasonable, prudent measures does. One does not need to be afraid to oppose coronavirus. In fact, excessive fear will cripple the critical thinking necessary for responding appropriately. So basically, follow reason, pay close attention. You make decisions for yourself and your family. President Trump again on what he thinks you should be doing when it comes to COVID.
Don't let it dominate your lives. Get out there. Be careful. We have the best medicines in the world, and it all happened very shortly, and they're all getting approved, and the vaccines are coming momentarily.
Well, they're not here yet. A lot of folks say, I'm not going to do anything till the vaccine. Well, we have flu vaccine every year. Sometimes it's effective, sometimes it's not. I raised the question earlier. If you put yourself in London and the German planes blitzing London, what would you have done if you were a lefty compared to what we're seeing or did see from Winston Churchill? I'll explore that when we continue.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I'm ready for
this is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I just want them to know that there are plenty of us out here who understand that it's okay to be afraid of COVID, and it's okay that it's dominating your life because it has dominated your life. And the idea that the president of the United States out there is, because he feels fine, maybe that's because of a steroid, I don't know, that he's saying this is so disrespectful to you. And I just want you to know that you're not alone if you're out there just shocked that this kind of callous indifference would be relayed by the person who's actually charged with protecting you from this virus.
I don't get the fact that Trump is callously disregarding Americans and COVID. That's a lefty viewpoint. But Jake Tapper there of CNN wants all of you to know that if you're living in fear and it's dominating your life, which Trump said don't let it do that, we're with you. We're in it with you. We understand. dominate your life? Well, dominate your life to the extent that businesses have been closed, conditions change as to when you can or can't go, jobs have been lost, businesses may never reopen in some cases. Do you remember after 9/11 immediately how things changed when it came to getting on a plane? And still does. It's dominating your life. If you're flying now, it's never the way it used to be. You do know there have been some people born since that time that still don't understand, why do we have to go through all this? Back to an article from the Federalist, executive editor for the Federalist, Joy Pullman, and talking about the fear-mongering that the mainstream media is doing. She said, why would they do that? And she answers, the only answer is that irrational fear serves a useful political purpose. I agree. She said, second, the fear COVID or your evil stance is morally questionable. We all feel fear, but we can't completely control it. We can control what we do in response to our feelings. We can confront and work through our fears, try to slowly acclimate ourselves to things we're afraid of we shouldn't be. And she adds this, in times of fear and heightened danger, good leaders have always told their people to take heart. It's a leader's duty to do so. Would the nation really be in a better place if Trump acted like the media, panicking about every possible horror scenario or frightful event? I agree, and I've raised that question numerous times as well. Even back to when they were pointing out that Trump, in his interview with Bob Woodward months ago, and he allowed Woodward to tape it, he knew it was being taped, he said at that time, he said, I didn't want to panic anyone. I knew it was worse than what I was saying, but I didn't want to panic anyone. That doesn't mean he wasn't doing things to have it stopped. But how far, how fast do you move? And this Federalist article by Joy Pullman goes back to another time. And this is worth bearing in mind, by the way. Not only for COVID, but any other fears you have, paranoias. I would imagine that any woman who's been raped fears any man she doesn't know in a circumstance that fears she might not be able to control. I would imagine that any child who's been molested fears being in the company of an adult they don't know. And, you know, there are some deep-seated fears that are going to need some true help to work them through it. War being one of the most atrocious. Winston Churchill. He said, it would be foolish to disguise the gravity of the hour. It would still be more foolish to lose heart and courage. He said, after this battle in France abates its force there, will come the battle for our islands and all that Britain is and all that Britain means. And in that supreme emergency, we shall not hesitate to take every step, even the most drastic, to call forth from our people the last ounce and inch of effort of what they're capable. Do you not imagine he knew the threat from Germany? As he said, it would be foolish to disguise the gravity, more foolish to lose heart and courage. If you think that Trump did not properly discuss and expose the gravity of the hour, that's your opinion. But did you want him to come out in panic and say we're all going to die possibly? Or also take the other words from Winston Churchill. It would be still more foolish to lose heart and courage. That's really what Trump is saying. Don't let COVID dominate and rule your life. I say the same. Be aware. Take the precautions you think you need for you and your family. But do you want to live locked down in your basement the rest of your life? I don't. Thank you for joining us. I appreciate it. Please let your family and friends know we'll be back tomorrow. Book it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.